Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here live on a Thursday morning, October 19th, 2023, 13 and a half minutes past the hour, and you're tuned into WGH Talk, and we have a very special guest this hour, and I'm so glad she was able to come into the studio live this morning, and we said we had an exclusive, and I think this is, and if you've read the paper the last 2 days, you know she's been talked quite a bit about, but we're going to clear it all up here this morning and see exactly what the truth is. And I cannot thank her enough for coming in this morning and doing this, because it's not always fun to come in amidst articles that have been written in the last 48 hours like they have. But we'll go through that. We'll start with the easy stuff, though. I'm so glad to have in the studio this morning Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis. Miranda, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
If you want to just get a little closer to the mic there.
Sorry.
There we go. Now, Miranda, let's start in the beginning before we get to the heavier things. You were appointed auditor.
Yes.
After Robert Landon resigned.
Yes.
Why'd you want the job?
Honestly, I didn't realize it at the time, and it probably took me a solid 2 weeks in to realize that this is essentially what I've been training for my entire career. I spent nearly a decade in the finance realm. I spent 2 years in insurance. I've been working towards my bachelor's degree in accounting for 8 years, and it's all something that I couldn't tell you while I was going through it what it was working towards, but once I got in, once I sat down and I started doing the job and learning the job, I realized that this was what I'm supposed to be doing.
What is the job of the auditor? Because most of us have not done that. What is the job of the city auditor like?
Right now, it's very stressful, but essentially what it is we keep track of every penny that comes in and out of the city. So it's a lot of math. It's a lot of, I want to say, kind of like bookkeeping stuff. We balance checkbooks essentially with our bank reconciliations. We do work with the state auditors or third party auditors when it comes for their time to audit our books. So our job essentially is to keep records of everything.
Robert Landon mm-hmm. had been elected to that position. He resigned mm-hmm. amidst a whole lot of controversy, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Did you realize what you were walking into?
Not the extent, no.
Try to explain to us what the auditor's office was like when you came to it.
It was a disaster. I mean, to put it frankly. There was a lot of stuff that was either not done or done incorrectly. And you can kind of, when you go in and you look at different journal entries and things like that, the records that we have in our system, you can see where there was a lot of back and forth, a lot of things that were duplicated or reversed because they didn't know how to do it. They didn't know what they were doing. And that's fine. Everybody has a learning curve. I know that I've done that several times just in the process of getting my feet wet. But I don't think there was a clear path forward for them, and I don't necessarily think that they had partnership to help get them there.
How would you describe Robert Landon? Did you know him?
I have had one conversation with Robert.
Knowing how he left and knowing what we've heard in the media mm-hmm. during that whole controversy, let's call it, what was your read on it? What was your take on him and what was being put out at that time?
As much of an opinion as I can have, because again, I don't know him personally. I've never met him. I've had one phone conversation with him that lasted maybe 15 minutes. I'd say he was in over his head. I'm also in over my head. There's a lot going on all the time. But the difference between Robert and I is, I am the type of person to never give up when it comes to a situation like this. I'm here. I was put here for a reason. Whether by the Republicans or voted in, whatever, however it's going to work out in November. But I was put here for a reason. I was put here to do a job. And yes, it's going to take time to learn that job. And I think amidst all the frustration and amidst all the articles and everything, which I understand completely, what people don't seem to realize is that I still have not had 2 years in office yet. That comes up November 29th. So in 2 years, there's been quite a bit that's gone on. And if I, as long as I get that next four, I can have it cleaned up. It's just the time it took to mess it up, it's going to take at least that long to clean it up.
What has gone on? What obstacles have you faced that an auditor coming in with no problems would not have faced?
So one of the big things, again, is those bank reconciliations. And I know I've said this to the paper. I know I've said this to council. The bank reconciliations are such a crucial part to everything that we do, because that is where we find that's our main record, right? That's what everything is based off of. We've had to go back and reconstruct, and we hired out a third-party firm for it. And Veritas Solutions Group and Greg Blate and Nicole DiVincenzo have been fantastic in that process. We've had to reconstruct 2 years of bank reconciliations. In that process, we figured out that there is a module in our software specifically for bank reconciliations that we've never used as a city before. So in my head, I would think, okay, if we're paying for the module, why don't we use it? So I go in, I start starting the process, and I find out not only do we have to go back the 2 years that we're already reconstructing, we have to go back to the implementation of the software and reconcile everything from the implementation of the software until now. So that's what I've been working on for, I want to say, probably the last 6 months, is redoing everything from 2009, 2010 to current. So
It sounds like a monumental job.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I want to get to some things here before we get to the articles in the last few days. But you're running as an independent.
Yes.
This fall. You came to the job as a Republican. You had to be a Republican then to fill the spot, I believe, because the auditor had been a Republican?
The auditor was a Republican, yes, which gave the Republican Central Committee the power to appoint. But I have never been a Republican.
You've never been a Republican?
Nope.
But I think they have referred to you. I think the paper has referred to you as a Republican.
I think so, but I think they kind of cleared it up. I think now it's she was appointed by the Republican Party.
Oh, okay.
But I've never been a Republican.
Why do you think they chose an independent over somebody in their own party, with party politics being so divisive these days?
I honestly couldn't answer that question.
Do you think they knew you were an independent?
I was asked, you know, if I would be willing to go into the Republican Party, and I did a short stint in the Central Committee for a minute, but even then, I never actually changed my party designation to a Republican. And I had thought about it for a little while. They had asked me if I would, but I as a person, again, I've always been an independent, and I don't feel that there should be, especially when it comes to politics, I understand the reason for the two-party system, but I personally just feel that it's very hard to get a full picture of what government's going to be like if you only have one party. So if I only go in and I only vote one party, I don't necessarily think that's best, because you can't vote party lines and have a good, well-rounded democracy.
I think a lot of people would echo what you're saying. This fall, you will run unopposed, so you are going to be the auditor for another 4 years. But there's been a lot of controversy, mostly on the mayoral side, but there is a pay raise expected for the auditor. I believe that goes before council December 11th.
Yes.
At that particular meeting. It would give the mayor a raise, but it would also give the auditor a raise. And the controversy there seems to have been everybody taking shots at you in the media, feeling the job is not being done properly, and yet we're going to give a raise to this person. Do you think that the mayor and the auditor should be given raises?
I think that elected officials have a bit of a harder time when it comes to raises, again, because those are set by council. if I've done my research correctly, I think there's been one raise in the last 10 years, 12 years. I could be wrong, but I'd have to look back at that. The last one was turned down by Robert Landon. He was city council, and he turned it down right before he took office. Couldn't tell you the motivations behind that. I always make jokes that I'm not a politician, so I don't understand a lot of those mindsets. Do I think the position itself deserves a raise? Absolutely. Cost of living has gone absolutely crazy in the last 2 years. It was 8.7% for 2023. And the fact that those positions are still living on $64,000, $65,000, $69,000 a year, it's a little hard to believe sometimes. Do I think it needs to be that much? Probably not. Absolutely not, to be honest. I think those numbers are pretty high. And that's just my opinion. That's just how I feel. But I think at the end of the day, again, excuse me, because it's so hard for those positions to get a raise, we don't get like the standard cost of living raises periodically. They are always going to seem like really big numbers because they happen potentially every 4 years as opposed to once a year.
So if the pay raises are voted in, which you don't have a control over, you're not right on city council, if they are voted in December, would you accept the upcoming raise?
I would. I mean, ultimately, again, I think that's council's decision.
Do you think it's necessary?
Do I think it's necessary to maintain cost of living? Yes.
When it comes to the mayor, because this has been a very big thing, to go from $69,000 to $120,000, I believe. Is it 110?
I think it's 110.
110. To go to $110,000. That's a big jump in one year with a new mayor coming in. Do you think that is a fair raise for the mayor?
I absolutely do. I think that the amount of work the mayor does, I think he earned, the position deserves that much. I know that when he was on, you guys spoke about it, and I agree with him. If there was a way to stagger it, because it's quite a significant jump. If there was a way to stagger it, even do half now, half later, I could understand that. But I think that amount is quite a bit of a jump.
When you read the stories about yourself, you've come into this job, you want to do this job, you're following an auditor who resigned. I don't know that we ever have had an auditor who resigned. It certainly has been a long time if we did. And you have to read about yourself quite a bit in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like?
It's a bit surreal, honestly. I never would have imagined myself in this realm, in this circle of influence, I suppose. I still get a little shocked when I see my name, but it's some of them are good, some of them are bad. Let's be honest, most of them are probably bad.
Well, do you think you've been portrayed accurately?
Again, yes and no. There's good articles, there's bad articles. There are times where I make mistakes and I accept that, and the articles come out and it's justified, you know, it makes sense, it's exactly how it happened, and then there's articles that come out and I get a little frustrated because I don't think I've been portrayed correctly.
Let's cover some of this. When the mayor was on the show last month, up until that interview, he had pretty well said that he had a good relationship with you, that you guys met. It was a better relationship than he had with Robert Landon.
Mm-hmm.
He had more confidence in you than he had in Robert Landon, mm-hmm. for certain. But the last time he came on the show, he was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I believe for the first time anywhere on this show, that he had lost confidence in you.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to hear that from the mayor?
I was. I know that the last, we try to meet on a monthly basis. The last few have had cancellations just due to some issues going on that I've had. But I was a bit surprised. I know that there's been some hiccups in communication lately. I've tried to correct those. But yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
When city council took a vote of no confidence in you. It came down to a split, and City Council President Todd Schneider actually had to break that tie, the tie vote, voting confidence in you. Were you surprised that City Council had done that and that the vote was so close?
I was. Again, just to kind of look back at track records over the last few years, City Council expressed extreme frustration in Robert Landon, and he took 22 months and ultimately resigned. I was a little frustrated because at that point I think it had been 16, 17, 18 months in office, and I got a vote of no confidence. And I have been there every day. I do my best to answer questions. If I make mistakes, I clear them up as best I can. I do my best to keep an open door. I reach out as often as possible, and to get that vote was a bit shocking. And then the split definitely, apparently I audibly gasped when the split happened. I did not think I did, but I could be wrong. You don't really have control over what happens in those situations. But I was surprised. I was grateful for it, obviously. Todd called me afterwards and explained why he voted that way, and I was grateful for it. I think it pushed me a little bit harder to try to clear things up in a speedier fashion.
What did Todd say to you? Why did he cast that vote in your favor?
If I remember correctly, and you'll have to ask him, but I'm thinking back a couple months, so forgive me. He said that he does have confidence in me because he sees that I'm an honest, hardworking person, and that I may need more training. I just need to be given the time to get there.
Interestingly enough, over time, and correct me if I'm wrong, the knock on you seems to be that you can't answer questions when asked at City Council. That's what we seem to read over and over and over. And this is where City Council's frustration comes from. This is where the mayor's frustration comes from, that if you have this job, you should be able to answer a question. What is the truth behind that?
A lot of the times the questions are kind of blindsiding. I expect questions specific to, you know, the numbers are specific to what's going on in the ordinance or whether or not we're okay or what we need. And sometimes they're kind of left-wing questions that I'm not prepared for. So, as you can tell through this interview, I don't do questions well. I don't do interviews well. Like I said, I joke that I'm not a politician. So, I don't have that polished background. I don't have that, I don't have that stage presence, I suppose, it takes to be in the public face a lot of the times. And I do. I stumble a lot. I occasionally will give the wrong answer. And if I give the wrong answer and I have time to go back and do research, I do. I correct myself. This job is a lot more than numbers. It's a lot more than yes or no answers. There's a lot of research that goes into a lot of these questions, and sometimes I don't have the time to do that.
Do you think you should be knocked as heavy as you have been for that?
I think, again, they're frustrated, and every time I get a question wrong or every time I stumble, it adds to their frustration, and I understand that.
Want to get to yesterday, because this is why we brought you in, and then there's another article this morning we'll get to here momentarily, which we did not know was going to be in the paper this morning, but I guess that's the way things go in the media. Yesterday, we found out here in the community, if we were not attending City Council meetings, that on Monday, we found out that the city has been fined $196,972 for failure to file, I believe it was a health insurance form, in 2020. Now, Robert Landon would have been auditor at that time. Now, the amount of the money was a problem. And also, another problem was, it was said that you knew about this on September 18th, September 25th, but did not notify council till October the 12th. So they were not happy with that. What happened?
So the dates on the notices are the dates that I believe they're either mailed out or meant to be received. I can tell you that both of those dates, I didn't receive them until the week of the 21st, which I know is not a Monday, but it's a Thursday, because that would have been the day that I received them. So I received them both on the 21st. When I opened them, I had a small panic attack because that was quite an astronomical amount. And I'm aware of everything that's going on as far as how council feels about fees and everything. So the very first thought that I had was get on the phone with the attorney. And so I called the attorney. He had also received the same notice. And this is the attorney that we have working on the previous tax penalties for third and fourth quarter of 2020 and first quarter of 21. So I called him, talked to him about it. He's more than willing to work with us on those abatement requests to get through the IRS with them. He just needed me to do some more research. I said, that's fine. I did call the IRS. I believe my notes are from the 22nd. And I had a conversation with one of the departments about what the fees are for. That's where I found out, because the notices just say failure to file, failure to furnish. They don't specify which form it is that we failed. So I called the IRS. They gave us information about the 1095Cs. That is the healthcare form that proves you've had health coverage from your employer. Those are generally furnished between January and March every year. And she said that it doesn't look like they'd ever been uploaded at all. I said, okay, how do I do that? And she gave me the instructions on how to set up the system to actually get them filed. I said, great, I'll go ahead and do that. She said, if you can file everything, file everything. I said, perfect. So then I go in to the system and I find out that I'm locked out. And when I'm locked out, I mean, I don't even have access. It says I, as an individual, I, as the city, have no access to log into this particular system. So then I have to call a second time and I have to figure out why. And apparently there was a previous application that was submitted that had never been completed. So I had to resubmit the application and wait for that to come through. That just came through yesterday, I believe. So I just got access to that system yesterday. So the reason for the delay, long circle back to your question, the reason for the delay was because I was gathering as much information as I could, because to your point, I am very bad at answering questions, and I like to go into council having as much information, especially when it comes to penalties and fees, as possible. So I was doing my best to gather all the information before I presented it to them. I did ask to speak with Councilman Schauber before I submitted that to committee for a presentation to committee. And I never got a call back, and I never got a meeting. And then he came in Thursday afternoon, which was after the cutoff for submitting information to committees. And unfortunately, I was out of the office at the time, and I wasn't able to speak with him.
So you did reach out. You felt it was pertinent to let Councilman Schauber know about this. It just didn't happen because of a miscommunication.
I believe so. I had asked him if he could stop by the office or give me a call. And he said he was busy, so he'd give me a call. This was Wednesday. I think it would have been October 11th. And I never got a phone call. And our deadline to get documentation to committees, or get it to Tarina, the clerk of council for committees, is Thursday at noon. And I wanted to talk to him before Thursday at noon. And I told him that, I said, because I don't want you to be blindsided by what I'm presenting. And he said, I'll give you a call when I can. And I never got a call. So rather than hold it up longer, I submitted it to the clerk and to Councilman Schauber for approval for addition to the agenda, and the law director for review. And then next thing I hear, there were a couple questions back and forth about what they were for, and then the next thing I hear, the meeting's canceled.
And then you got criticized for blindsiding.
Right.
Yeah. Another part of this that came up in the article, I believe yesterday in the Marion Star, was you were asked, have the forms been filed for 21 and 22?
Right.
And you said they've been filed for this year, but you weren't sure about those 2 years. And Deputy Auditor Martin Watts told Councilman Schauber, I believe is how this was worded, that the city is likely to see 3 more letters from the IRS asking for $196,000 each. Is that correct? First, are the forms filed for those 2 years? Do we know?
Since I have gotten into the system, I have filed 2020. So 2020 is filed. I have record of it. And it is on my desk. My process now is to go back through and electronically file the rest of them. I haven't had a chance to confirm whether or not they've been filed, because you can either mail them in or file them electronically. And because I've been trying to get into the system, that was my main concern. Get in, get them filed, get record that I have them filed. So by the end of this week, everything will be filed electronically, and I will have records of everything.
Is the city likely to see three more letters from the IRS for $196,000 each?
Ideally, no, after this week, once I get them filed. But again, I don't have confirmation of that until I get them filed.
When you heard Deputy Auditor Watts say this, or read it, mm-hmm. did he ever say it to you?
No.
Do you find that to be a problem?
It's a little concerning, and we've had conversations about that. So
that he went to Councilman Schauber and said this, and then obviously that went to the newspaper. Mm-hmm. So now it looks as if he knows what's going on, and essentially you don't.
Right.
How does that make you feel?
Well, to be honest, that's why I kept him around. Martin Watts is my deputy auditor, and he was here for 2 years prior to me taking office. He was here when Robert started, and he knew what happened. And we did have a little scuffle. We call it his sabbatical when I first entered office. But ultimately, I realized that I did need him, and he understood what was going on and what had happened. And so I brought him back. And I joke with him all the time. I tell him that all the time. We have a good working relationship now. And I keep him around because he has more information about what happened in those 22 months than I do. So, in this sense, he does know more about the situation than I do.
If he knew that these forms weren't filed, mm-hmm. do you think he should have told you before now?
Well, I think that the situation honestly didn't come up until now. And that is the other part of the problem, is we don't know that there's a problem until it comes up. So this is one of those situations where we had no idea that this was going to be an issue until a notice got put on my desk.
We have to get to today's article, because it's kind of a big article, and I'm sure people are reading it this morning. Now, I'm not going to read the whole article here, but the headline this morning is Marion Mayor, two city council members call for city auditor Miranda McGinnis to resign. And we'll just paraphrase. Well, we're not going to paraphrase. I'll read what they say. Obviously, it has to do with the fines that came up earlier this week. But here's what, and again, this is from the Marion Star. Schertzer told the Star that he's become increasingly frustrated with the performance of the auditor's office, both under Landon and McGinnis' leadership. He said he learned about the latest IRS fine from the city council clerk, Tarina Rose, when he stopped by her office to see what was planned for the Finance Committee agenda for October the 16th. That meeting was subsequently canceled. Schertzer said when he and Law Director Mark Russell met with McGinnis in late September, he asked her if there was anything that he could do in his last 3 months in office before his term ends December 31st, 2023. He said she told him, "No, everything's fine." Everything is not fine in the city auditor's office, and it hasn't been for quite some time. If you don't know what to do, if you don't want to do your job, you should resign. If you don't want to learn how to do your job, you should resign, Schertzer said. That's, I fear, where we are right now with the auditor's office. You have heard me publicly say that I and my administration are here to help the auditor, but we're not here to do your job. That is what you were elected, or in this case, what you were appointed to do. When you're elected to do a job, you're telling the voters that you know how to do the job. Not the case with Robert Landon. Didn't know how. Didn't learn. Ultimately left, Schertzer said. In the case of this auditor, she was appointed to do a job. Apparently, she doesn't know how to do the job. So, she should resign before the city gets in any more trouble than it's already in. That's Mayor Schertzer. Said, you don't know how to do your job, and you should resign. When you hear that, what do you think?
That's a loaded question.
That's a heavy statement by him.
It's a big statement. You know, I'll admit again, not even 2 years into the job, I don't know everything about it. And a lot of, excuse me, a lot of my time has been taken up by projects that wouldn't normally be on our radar. So it's hard for me to accept that resignation is the only option at this point. I'm also a very stubborn person. So if I set out to do something, I'm going to do it. My next question to them, and this is to the mayor and to both councilmen, is if I resign, who else is going to do it?
And we should mention, by the way, that the other councilmen are Ayers Ratliff and I believe, yes, Mr. Rollins, Aaron Rollins, were the other two councilmen. Has the mayor ever come to you and said anything like this?
No.
When you have to read it or hear me quote it to you in an interview like this, how does that make you feel toward the mayor?
It doesn't change my opinion of him.
What is your opinion of him?
He's a great mayor. He does what he does because he loves it, because he loves the city of Marion, and he loves the people. And I think that's a fantastic quality to have in a mayor. Do I get a little frustrated? Sure, because I'm the type of person I'd rather somebody say that to me, or at least give me guidance on how to fix it. But again, everybody has their opinions. And as much as everyone in the city has learned about what it takes to be an auditor and what it takes to do the work of the auditor's office, they still don't have the full depth of what it is that we do and what it is that we're cleaning up.
I just want to ask this point blank, because it is obviously the headline today. Will you resign?
No.
Is there any circumstance under which you would resign?
Probably not. And I say probably as like a very slim, must be extreme extenuating circumstances type of probably not. But no, I don't see why. Now, if I had gotten to the point where I had royally screwed up, and I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars royally screwed up, that would probably be my extenuating circumstance. Bow out while I can type of situation. But I don't see that happening.
If these fines come of $196,000 each, mm-hmm. would that be a problem?
Would it be a problem for me? Yeah, I don't necessarily... excuse me. I don't necessarily think that should be on me, though, especially in the periods that we're getting them for. So while it's happening on my watch, yes, it's not my fault. And I think that's what a lot of people are forgetting, is that while these things are happening on my watch, it's not my fault. I am doing the best I can to clean up the mess that I have.
When you run into Mayor Schertzer again, will you have a conversation about this?
I don't know.
What would you like to say to him if it did come up?
If it did come up, I'd want to know why. What have I done in the last 2 months? Because we'll say conservatively it's been 2 months since he's changed his mind. What has come up in the last 2 months that has taken you from one, I don't want to say extreme, but from supporting to not anymore? Because that's the part that shocks me a little bit.
I think what he would say from the article is this fine. and again, we want to make very clear, this happened under Robert Landon.
Correct.
This was a form that was not filed when he was auditor. But the mayor apparently feels the auditor's office is not okay right now, and that you don't know the job. Those are heavy statements to make, and certainly heavy statements to make to the media.
Sure. And I feel the weight of those statements.
So your reply to him would be?
Just what you said. I mean, these fees are not my fault. These fees are from Robert Landon. Obviously, again, we didn't know that they weren't filed until we got notice of them, and we're doing everything we can to clean it up, like I said.
He says he offered help, and you said everything's fine.
I don't recall what time that meeting was in the month. I believe that if there was a point where we had a meeting, it probably would have been before we got those fees, because when we were meeting regularly, I shared those things with him. Those are the things that you know, if we got notice of something, if we got notice of penalties, of fees, I let him know. I'd let the administration as a whole know, because, again, I don't feel that it's best to keep things like that under lock and key for a while. I think those are the types of things that people need to be made aware of.
I think he says here that he said he learned about the latest IRS fine from City Council Clerk Tarina Rose
right. When
he stopped by her office to see what was planned for the finance committee agenda for October 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So did you tell him about this prior to that?
I did not. I didn't have a chance. I had gone down there a couple times. Our offices are just down the hall from each other, and I'd walk down, and he wasn't in. So the few times that I did try and have conversations, he wasn't available.
Now that apparently this has certainly not made him happy,
mm-hmm.
Do you wish there was something different you would have done?
I probably could have reached out in different ways. I probably could have called him or sent him an email that I needed to meet with him, and I didn't think about that.
Do you think communication is a problem here? Because I think if people were listening to this interview, trying to get a hold of Councilman Schauber and that not happening, mm-hmm. phone call not being returned, trying to go to the mayor, he's not in the office. Because this seems to be what people are getting angry about, and
right. Certainly
going to the media about, that we don't know until we show up to the meeting or until we get to the agenda. She didn't tell us. We shouldn't be finding out this way. This is not the way to run the auditor's office.
Right. And I do. I think there's a breakdown in communication, but I don't necessarily think it's all on my office.
Where do you think it lies?
I think there's a little bit on both sides, honestly. Like I said, I reached out to Councilman Schauber to have a meeting with him or a phone call, and I never got called, and he didn't come in until a day and a half later. I tried to go down and see the mayor, but he wasn't there. And again, there are breakdowns on both sides. I could have reached out over the phone, and I didn't. He could have tried to call me, and he didn't. Like, there's breakdown on both sides. I don't think that it's fair to put it all on one person.
I think in these two articles, anybody who read them would say that you were being portrayed as the failure
right. In
this story. Do you feel that's accurate?
I feel that there are things that I need to work better at, communication being one of them, absolutely. Do I think that I failed overall? No.
If you had to grade yourself as auditor, what grade would you give yourself?
Oh, jeez. I'd say like a solid C. I'm passing, but I could do better, absolutely.
One more thing about this article. When this is the headline today, and this is what will be in newspaper stands, mm-hmm. and this is what is on the internet, do you think, just the way it happened this morning, that you should have to find that out from me, that maybe one of them should have called you before this hit the newspaper? That they're asking you to resign.
Right.
That's no small thing.
It's not. I think in a situation like this, I think there's a certain shock factor that they're wanting. I think they achieved it, definitely. But at the same time, I'm not going to resign.
That being said, I don't think you've been to work yet. When you go to work today, knowing that they've asked you to resign,
right. What
do you think? Different day?
I think I'm going to go in and do my job just like I do it every other day.
Here's maybe the most important question. You know, that kind of is all what's going on in the world. What do you need to make the auditor's office successful at this point with everything that's happened?
Time and guidance. And I know that council's frustrated that it became a demand for help from the local government services division, but I do genuinely think that that's going to be a huge, huge benefit to our office. But I do, I think ultimately the biggest thing that we need is time.
Do you need a CPA? That's been suggested.
I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because there's not a lot of, and we have a CPA really with Veritas. Greg Blade is a CPA, and he comes in and he does fantastic work. But to have one on full time, I don't necessarily think that's a requirement. I don't necessarily think it would definitely be beneficial, not to say that I would push away the expertise, but I don't know if full time CPA is necessary.
In this particular situation with the $196,000, do you think you should go to the mayor's office to ask for help? because he does insinuate that at one point, that he's right. offering help. He's not here to do your job, but he's here to help.
Well, and I've asked. That's the thing. I've asked him. I've asked Kathy Chaffin, his service director. I go in and I ask the safety director regular questions when I need answers, when I need clarification on things. So I do ask questions. I do ask for help. I do ask for more information when I need it.
Will you ask in regard to this situation?
I guess I don't understand the question. I don't.
You know how to fix this situation.
I have to call. I have right. to figure it out. Yeah.
So you know what the way the city will accrue no more fines in regard to the IRS and
right.
these forms.
Right.
So I guess just to make this clear, when Martin Watts says he expects to see three more letters from the IRS for $196,000, that should not happen.
No.
Okay. So at least we cleared that up.
Right.
Which I think that's an important thing because, you know, that would have been close to $1 million in fines.
Right. And ultimately my goal is to avoid that at any length possible because we don't need to be getting fined for things anymore.
Now, if this should happen, God forbid, how would you feel?
I'd be frustrated again because I've been, especially now that we have access to the system we need and everything, I'd be frustrated knowing that I've gone through all the work and I've done everything that they needed. I'd be a little upset, but
not resign.
No.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting question because I've been asked this by a lot of people. We're going to have a new mayor in 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and neither one of these men, Glenn Coble or Bill Collins, have any legislative experience in city government.
Mm-hmm.
This scares a lot of people right now because what we read, and again, what we read is not necessarily always correct, and that's why I'm so glad you're here this morning. We have an auditor, according to our current mayor, who doesn't know how to do the job. We have no bond rating
right.
in the city. We're about to give everybody raises, the auditor and the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a mayor coming in who's never done the job before, who has no legislative experience. This could turn out badly coming in January. I think there's a big fear.
And I think it's an understandable fear to have someone come in after 16 years of institutional knowledge, I think is a terrifying concept. And I make jokes all the time about how if everybody leaves, I will be the most senior member of the city's administration with 2 years and 33 days of experience. That's a terrifying idea. Because, again, we're going into unprecedented times where we don't have all of that institutional knowledge available. And I have, on multiple occasions, told people that I'm going to annoy them until they walk out the door to soak up as much of it as I can because I need that, because the city needs that. And it is a little scary, but change is scary. And I think at the end of the day, that's all we're going to do is we're going to go through change and we're going to have to roll with the punches. And that's going to be everybody. That's going to be city council. That's going to be the administration. And unfortunately, that's going to mean the citizens too.
Is the city going to be okay?
I think the city will be fine. I think there's a learning curve anytime you come into government work, and I think there's definitely a learning curve coming into a city with no bond rating. So I think as long as we all work together, I think as long as we have a team mindset and really that what's best for Marion at heart, I think we'll be okay.
Being an independent, you sit in an interesting position because you don't have anybody running against you,
right.
So you don't have to go out and campaign this fall. But obviously both mayoral candidates do, and you have worked somewhat closely with the current mayor,
mm-hmm.
And certainly he has given his opinion, good and bad, on you over the time you've been in office. At this point, who do you support as the next mayor? Glenn Coble or Bill Collins?
You know, honestly, I don't have an opinion yet. And the reason being is I haven't had an opportunity to have conversations with both of them. So I can't really say one way or the other who I support because I haven't had the opportunity to have conversations with them both. I have had conversations with Bill. I've been able to have decent conversations with Bill, and I do support him there. He's been very kind to come up and have conversations with me for that, and I'm grateful for that. I think that if he were to become the next mayor, I think we'd make a great team. but I haven't had a chance to really talk to Glenn yet. So I can't really say for sure who I would be behind.
Do you know who you will vote for yet?
Not really. Again, because I haven't had an opportunity to have that conversation.
It's going to be interesting because, as I said before, neither one of them have legislative experience at this particular point.
Right.
When this all comes to pass, do you think you've been portrayed correctly or incorrectly?
Overall, I want to say I would like to think it's been 50-50. And I know that's not the answer you're looking for,
but... What has been right, what has been wrong, the major things in your opinion?
The major things is I am doing everything that I possibly can to fix it. Like I said, it's going to take a lot of time. There's a hefty mess we've got ahead of us, but I am doing everything that I can to fix it. The parts that I don't necessarily feel like I have been portrayed correctly on, I don't have malicious intent if I make a mistake. I'm not purposely holding back information. I'm not trying to hide anything. I don't have anything to hide. My door is always open. And I think that's the part that gets the most frustrating, is I'm at least when I read it, I'm kind of portrayed as this malicious, evil person. And I'm not. I just, there's got to be a communication breakdown somewhere, and it can't be all on me.
And the bottom line here, which maybe will give people some comfort who are listening, do you feel you know how to do this job? Because that's the knock now from the mayor, from city council, certain people on city council, and has been the knock for a little while now.
Right. I have confidence in myself. I have confidence in my staff. Do I have more things to learn? Absolutely. I don't think anybody can learn this job in 2 years, let alone the first four of a first term. And I'm excited to see where it goes. But yeah, I have confidence in myself.
Do you have any regrets?
No.
Still glad you took this job?
Absolutely. I probably sound like a lunatic to most people, but yes, I love the job more than I could possibly say.
Mm. Finish this sentence. Miranda McGinnis is...
a very nice person.
I could echo those statements here this morning. I'm so glad you came in this morning because we haven't had a chance to do an interview, and I know media is not your favorite thing to do, but I'm glad that you came in and did it. And I hope you will come in the future when questions like this arise, because I think it's important that we hear from officials, elected officials, about what's going on, because sometimes we don't know the whole story, we don't know what's going on, and to hear it firsthand, I think is just an important thing.
No, absolutely. And I do appreciate you asking me to come on. I think it's nice to be able to have the opportunity to kind of explain my other side.
Yeah. And I think hopefully this did a lot. And hopefully this wasn't as bad as you maybe thought it would have been.
No, it was much easier. Okay. Thank you.
Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis and Linda Sims is up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess
but there is something fascinated